as you can see in those pictures in that slideshow, during Discovery Camp a couple weeks ago, we had fun. It was an interesting, we had gone through some times of struggling as a children's leadership team, as a staff, and as a church. Do we switch doing VBS from nighttime to the daytime? And we prayerfully entered into that decision, and it was a good thing we did. We reached a lot of families and a lot of kids who, if it had been at nighttime, if Discovery Camp had been in the evening, we wouldn't have been able to reach them because of ball games and such. But we had a great time, and I want to thank all the workers and all the leaders and all the people who were helping with Discovery Camp, and also to the rest of the church as you prayed and lifted up these kids. We had an amazing week. We were able to reach about 100 kids total, and about 20 of those kids didn't have a church home, didn't have a church family. So I thank you for being the church and for willing to open up your arms and welcome these kids and become their church family. The kids are learning every week how to discover God's love, and during that week, they really discovered how God can work through them. We have a great group of leaders and teachers in the Discovery Zone that every week share love with our kids and share love with how to live. And I'm thankful for them. And you have a really good children's ministry. And I'm not saying it because I work in it, but you had a really good children's ministry before I came here. You also have a dynamic youth ministry. I have been to many churches. I have worked with many churches and visited many churches and gotten to see how their youth groups work. I've never seen a youth group like Waverly Church of the Nazarenes, never in my life. It is. They are the most selfless and the most, they just have really big service. We could not have done Discovery Camp without the 20-something teens that showed up, but much of the greatness that our youth group has is because of the leadership of Pastor Matt. And we are very saddened but excited for this next step that he and Trina are going to be making. And so we invite you to come on June 27th. It's a Saturday, so mark it down in your calendar and make sure you're paying attention to the calendar and the date. June 27th at 6 p.m. We're going to meet here today on that day, and we're going to celebrate with the Alexanders. We're going to thank the Alexanders, and we're going to love on the Alexanders as we prayerfully commit to help them through this transition. So make sure you're there, and you can bring a dish. As I told first service, if you don't know what to bring, chocolate and desserts are very accepted and welcomed and loved. But really, if you don't know what to bring, you can see Ms. Jana Brazel, or you can see Catherine in the office, and they can direct you to figure out what to bring. But just make sure you mark that date down. We want to be able to show love to Pastor Matt and to Trina and to tell them how much we appreciate them. What do you think the kingdom of God looks like? If you could come up with an example or an analogy or a simile, if you could just come up with, what does the kingdom of God look like? If you could tell a story, what would you say? Would you talk about how great and how big and how awesome the kingdom of God is? Would that be part of the story that you tell? Or would you focus on the fact that the kingdom of God is here, but yet not here, but yet coming at the same time, and that the wibbly-wobbly time that we live in, would you talk about that? Or would you talk about how God has come, Jesus came to the earth, and he is king over all? What would you use? What words would you use to describe the kingdom of God? Jesus asks his disciples this question in Mark. He asks them, how can the kingdom of God be explained? And before and after asking his disciples this question, he's speaking to them in parables. Whenever you read the New Testament, you're faced with parables, these things that are stories, but yet they have truth in them. These parables that are what we call in children's church language, object lessons. They're the things that we use to proclaim a truth that is a little hard to just blurt out. A parable doesn't water down the truth. It doesn't alter the truth. It doesn't subtract from the truth. But instead, a parable packages the truth in a way that makes it a little easier to handle. It's like the sugar coating on those really big pills that you have to take. It's kind of what a parable is. It's that sugar coating. It makes it easier to go down. When you look at all the New Testament passages, you look and see all these different parables. And sometimes when Jesus is taught a parable, the next sentence is, and the people went away confused. Or the people went away not understanding what Jesus was saying. Or sometimes you get to the next part and you just see a disciple saying, what was that about? And you see that Jesus is having to explain to them. It's not rocket science. A parable isn't something that you have to have a high IQ level to understand. You don't have to have a large vocabulary. All that you really have to understand a parable is a heart that is willing to submit, a heart that is willing to listen to the power of the Holy Spirit. Eugene Peterson has the best description and explanation of what a parable is. I just love it. Whenever I read it, it was like, this is it. He describes a parable as a time bomb. You hear them on a Sunday morning, or you read them during the day and tick, tick. You wander and contemplate about them, think about them, tick, tick. You think you understand them. You leave on Sunday morning and you got it, it's good. Or you close your Bible and you're done. Tick, tick. Over the course of a day or a week or a month or maybe even a year, that parable is still ruminating in your mind. Tick, tick. And one day when you're at the office or when you're at the house doing dishes, it starts playing over and you start all of a sudden seeing the truth. Tick, tick, tick. And then boom, the truth is revealed to you. I want to set off some time bombs today. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4. Verse 26 is where we're going to begin. If you do not have a Bible with you, there are Bibles in the seats. In fact, they are brand new Bibles. You will be the first, well, first service was, but you will be the second people to use them. And if you are using the Bibles in the pews, the page number is not that. It's 1,562. But if you would turn to Mark chapter 4, verse 26, he, being Jesus, also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scattered seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. With similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This parable that we find here in Mark, it can only be found in Mark. And you might say, but I've heard this mustard seed before. Yeah, the mustard seed is in all the other gospels, but when it's in the other gospels, they're talking about it in relation to your faith. But it's in this parable that Jesus equates the kingdom of God to a seed, a measly little seed, a mustard seed. When Jesus began his ministry, after he got baptized, he made a very bold statement. In Mark chapter 1, we read that Jesus says, it is here. The kingdom of God is coming and it is here. Jesus starts off his ministry proclaiming the kingdom of God's coming here. And when we think of the word kingdom, we all know, if we remember all of our grammar lessons, kingdom is a noun. A noun, if you remember, is a name, person, place, or when you get in fifth grade, a thing. It's something that you can define. A noun is something that you can control it. You can explain it. You can own it. You own your name. You own your house. A noun is just something that you can hold. But when Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God here, he wasn't talking about it as a noun, as something that can be controlled, something that can be owned, something that can be explained or defined. When Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, when he proclaimed it in Mark 1 and then is talking about it here, he's talking about the kingdom as an action word, as a verb. The kingdom of God is this gracious activity that is centered in Jesus Christ. It's revealing and restoring hearts and proclaiming the reign of God on earth, proclaiming the fact that God is God and God is King. The kingdom of God is this lifestyle and this action where the low are made high, the poor are made rich, the hungry find food, the thirsty find drink, the neglected, the lonely, the discarded, the least, the last, and the lost, they all find a home. They all find that they're wanted and comforted and kept. The kingdom of God is this action where God is breaking into our world and showing that he reigns. And it's not this one-time thing. When Jesus proclaimed it in Mark 1, it wasn't just, boop, it's done, it's here, it's over. It's not a kingdom ED, the kingdomed of God. It's the kingdoming, the ing. It's an action verb that's still going. It's this reality where God's presence and power is made known. But it's not this massive tornado, this massive thing that's just going to take over everything, that's going to mow down everything in its path. And instead, we see that the kingdom of God is this beautiful, graceful, humble budding of a seed that is at first subtle, discreet, may seem a little inconsequential, but soon it makes its presence known in the most powerful and gorgeous of ways. The kingdom of God is like a seed. Day and night it passes and it grows. At first there's nothing visible, but if you've planted a seed, you know that there's something going on underneath the soil. The farmer does not know what or why or how. The farmer just plants the seed and day and night passes and it grows. He doesn't understand it. It just grows. The farmer can't change it. The farmer can't make the seed grow. He can't make it happen. He can't hurry the seed to go. He can't snap his fingers and it come up. He can't press pause and say, oh, not yet. He can't. Say, oh, let's skip some processes. Let's, instead of becoming, you know, the head first, let's do the kernel. And he can't skip certain processes. All the farmer can do is just trust that the seed is planted and it's going to grow. And then once that seed is growing, the only thing he can do is to join in and announce, to proclaim, to tell others about what's happening in that seed. The kingdom of God is like a seed. Day and night passes and it grows. We don't know how. We don't know why. We don't know what. We can't control it. We can't hurry the kingdom of God on. We can't delay the kingdom of God. We can't press pause and say, wait, not yet. We can't have a committee meeting about it. We can't skip certain processes. We can't schedule our calendars around it. We can't even think to begin that we can predict it, that we can understand how it's going to move and when it's going to move. This parable reminds us that the kingdom of God is not a noun, it's a verb. We do not own the kingdom of God. We do not control it. We don't define it. We don't explain it. We don't push it. This parable reminds us that the kingdom of God is not dependent on us, and I am thankful for that. The kingdom of God does not depend solely on me, does not depend solely on Pastor Darren or anyone else. The kingdom of God is dependent on God. It will grow, it will change, it will do whatever it does because God is the one who wills it. This parable calls us to take a step back, to realize we don't control the kingdom of God, but God does. To take a step back and stop concentrating on what we can accomplish, how we can make the kingdom grow, when we need to make the kingdom grow, why we need to make the kingdom grow, and just realize that we're not called to make the kingdom of God happen. Instead, we're called to realize, to announce, and to join in on what God is already doing, on the work that God is already breaking in. When my sister and I were in, when we were younger, during the summers, both of my parents worked. And they would give us some summer school stuff to work on so that we would remember all the things that we learned next year and so we wouldn't get bored. And one of the projects that my sister Catherine and I had to do was to take one of those bean seeds, and stick it in some wet paper towels and put it in a Ziploc and Ziploc it and put it up in the thing. But we were supposed to, you know, write down the stages of growth in a seed. And it drove us nuts. Because once we put it in the bag, it didn't grow like that. We had to wait. Every morning we woke up to see what was going on in that seed. And no matter how much we wanted to help it, it didn't grow. And I really wanted to help it. No matter how many times we wanted to take it out of the bag and just pet it or love on it or hug it, it would not grow. No matter how many times we whisper to it or put it in a different window thinking maybe if the sun hits it a certain way, it'll grow. There was nothing we could do to make that seed grow. But that morning when we woke up and we went to go check on the seed and there was a little green sprout, boy, did we announce it. We called our parents both at the office. We woke our brother up. We took it and showed it to our neighbor. We made sure that everyone that was in our world knew what was happening to our seed, knew what was happening to the work that was being done in that seed. And then we joined in on that work. We didn't just leave it up there and, oh, it's growing, that's cool. We planted it. We started working with it. We got into it. We started joining into it. Our call is to do that. Our call is to announce the kingdom of God, not to make the kingdom of God happen, not to push it, not to make it grow, but just to say, just to look into our world and announce and point and tell others about where God is already working, where God has already had his hand. And not only are we called to just point at it and proclaim it and make it known, God calls us to become a part of it, to get swept up in that work, to get so just to become part of that work. This call that comes in this parable isn't one that says, oh, you can be lazy, just call, just point, just proclaim. No, this call says to proclaim and to join in. You know, the kingdom of God will work and move in the most unexpected ways. Jesus calls this, says it's like a mustard seed. A mustard, once you planted it, it's essentially a weed. It is ugly. It's not something that you want in your rose bushes or like in your flower bed. It's not something that you would even want on the perimeter of your gardens or the perimeter of your lands. It's not a pleasant plant. Once it starts growing and if you don't control it, it infects, it spreads, and it gets bigger, a lot bigger. And it just starts growing before you know it. Once you plant one seed, can't remember all of the rates, but like once you plant one seed, within like 30 days, another seed is planted just from that. Like it just grows. It just grows really fast, and you can't control it. You would think that Jesus would use something better than a mustard seed. You would think he would use like a tree, a mighty noble tree that is beautiful and you can put a treehouse in it. And you would think he would use something like that. You would think that Jesus would say the kingdom of God is like a rose bush. I mean, it's got the thorns. You could say that that's sin. And it's got the flower. You could say that's the beauty of God. I mean, you could use other things. Or like an olive tree. You could use an olive tree. They've got olives. There's so many other trees that Jesus could have, or seeds that Jesus could have used to describe the kingdom of God. But no, He uses a mustard seed, a weed. How many times have we passed by a weed and not noticed it? How many times have we looked at a weed and said, that doesn't belong here, and plucked it? The kingdom of God moves and grows in ways that we don't expect. The kingdom of God moves in ways that doesn't follow the rules of your job, the rules of the corporation, the rules of political agendas. It just doesn't follow the rules of our world. It doesn't hinge on all of the laws and the standards and the things that we have set up in our heads. The kingdom of God moves and grows like a weed. And I don't want to miss a weed. The kingdom of God is like a seed, a weed seed. And our call is to look and to search and to announce when the kingdom of God is breaking into our world, to train our eyes to see past the weed and to see what God is actually doing. To let go of all of the things that we think the kingdom of God should be like, to let go of all the ideas that we have, to let go of all the images and the ways that we think that the kingdom of God should work, and just to say, that's the kingdom of God. He's working. I don't know how. I don't know why. I don't know why he's choosing to do this way, but this is him, and I'm joining in. That's our call. The kingdom of God, it will work in ways we've never thought it would work. But our call isn't to understand, to explain, to define, to control the way that God is working in his kingdom. Instead, our job is to merely just say, this is God. It's weird, but this is God. The kingdom of God moves in unexpected ways, and we need to announce it, to tell it, to proclaim it, and to join in. For the kingdom of God is like a seed. The kingdom of God is like a group of kids who are willing to spend a week discovering how God works through them. The kingdom of God is like a preschooler going to school and teaching her friends the song, God's Not Dead. The kingdom of God is like a group of teens who break the stereotypes of what it means to be a teen and commit to build a garden for our community. The kingdom of God is like a school teacher who spends her time and energy loving and helping and help bringing restoration to the broken families of our community. The kingdom of God is like a couple willing to give up their home, their sense of security, their sense of comfort, their 401ks, and follow God to the mission field. The kingdom of God is like a group of ladies bringing comfort and hope to those that are imprisoned. The kingdom of God is like a church in Clarksville that is ministering to the forgotten at Fort Campbell. The kingdom of God is like a church that's going to come alongside a couple and commit to praying for them through every transition of their life. The kingdom of God is the Most High God, humbling himself, becoming a baby, becoming a child, a teenager, and a man, becoming a man for the sake of his creation. This is what the kingdom of God is about. It moves, it grows in ways we can never understand. Our job isn't to understand it. Our job is to announce it and to join in. And it's more than just announcing. You're invited to get your hands dirty. You know that if you have a garden, you can't just, there's a zucchini on that plant. It's there. You can't just announce it when you have a garden. You got to get your hands dirty. You got to get involved. You got to make sure that you're not missing the kingdom of God, but that you're becoming a part of it and getting swept up in the work. This week, as you are going throughout your work or going throughout your home, or maybe some of you are getting ready to go on vacation, I want you to watch for where the kingdom is growing. Make sure your eyes are open to see where God is moving, where seeds are getting to grow. Open your eyes and be ready, because it might be something you didn't expect. It might be a way that you don't understand. It might be a way that you don't think is right. But it's God working. And when you see it, don't keep it secret. Point others to it. Make it known. And get your hands dirty. Get involved. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you.